Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Does it matter? Today.
It's 4 o'clock on Friday, so it's time for Nate Taylor to join the drive.
I knew in training camp last year that they had chosen Orlando Brown over Tyrann Mathieu.
You can check out all his Chiefs news and notes at his very athletic online publication.
Oh, okay. I see what you did there.
Here's C-Dot and Nate.
Nate Taylor running a little bit behind, but he'll be here momentarily. I'll hold you tight until Nate Taylor gets here. Nate Taylor, the Kansas City Chiefs beat writer for The Athletic. One thing that I want to get Nate's opinion on is what Shaquille Barrett had to say about the Chiefs' offensive line and what the Chiefs plan on doing with the front four of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. If you missed the report, here's James Palmer of NFL Network.
And they like to do what they did against Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl, Andrew, the last time these two teams faced. Remember, Mahomes' worst passer rating of his career. He was pressured 20 times. The Chiefs go and revamp that offensive line, make it what a lot of us believe, one of the better groups in the NFL. You know who doesn't agree with that? Shaq Barrett of the Tampa Bay Bucs, who just this morning said he doesn't see a whole lot of differences in this new offensive line. He sees a lot of favorable matchups for their pass rush to get after this group, and he believes that this could be a dominant performance by the Bucs pass rush and, quote, their coming out party. It's interesting, it's their coming out party, the third in the NFL in sacks and the number one defense in all of football. But the interesting part I want to keep my eye on, Bucky, is early in this game. Todd Bowles said if there's one issue with his defense, it's been that they've given up 20 of their 27 points on the first two drives of the game. We know how good Andy Reid is at scripting at the beginning portion of a game, and he believes he has not gotten the group in rhythm offensively. What better time to do it if the Bucs come out of the gate a little bit slow defensively?
What I hear in that clip from James Palmer of NFL Network is the importance of starting early against Tampa Bay. Their defense is really good, especially when they settle in. But you can exploit that defense early, and if you can get a lead and force the Tampa Bay offense to be playing from catch-up, you've got Tampa Bay right where you want them. If you remember last week, Green Bay comes out of the gates and looked really good offensively. They score on their first drive against Tampa Bay. They were making a drive to score again. Turnover happens. Their offense never really recovered from it. But Tampa got down big early, and big for them is down 7 points, and Green Bay was able to maneuver it the rest of the way. Tampa's got the number one defense in the league. They're top five in sacks, and they completely take away the run game. They're a team that forces you to play their style and their tempo. I think the key to this game is, can you protect Patrick Mahomes? Can you keep him upright? And can you manage the front four of Tampa Bay? I don't think that's a matchup that the way the Chiefs' offensive line is playing right now that you expect to win, but I do think you're able to manage it. Nate Taylor is set to join us here coming up in just a bit. I do want to play for you something that Tom Krasnicki, who covers the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, said. We asked him, Chiefs win if, Bucs win if. Here was his answer.
I think the Chiefs win if they find a way to run the football with Clyde Edwards-Helaire and protect Patrick Mahomes. And I think the Bucs win if they open up this offense and throw it down the field the way Brady wants to do it, the way Byron Leftwich wants to do it. And obviously, guys, we know turnovers are a given. But I think the Buccaneers really need to open up this offense and be more efficient in the red zone. If they can do that, then I think they win this game.
I don't know if Tampa has the parts healthy right now to be able to open things up offensively. With the way that their offensive line is banged up and with the way that their skill position players are banged up at this point, I just don't think that there is enough for Tampa to be able to open it up. If you can score more than 17 points against Tampa Bay, you should win the game with the way that their offense is currently playing. They've scored 3 offensive touchdowns for their first 3 games. They have been one of the worst offenses in the league. And I'm not saying that this offense is playing, the Chiefs offense is playing at its absolute highest level. But if you can find a way to get to 21, 24 points, then this is the game that you should be able to steal on the road. I'm surprised that this game is at a pick 'em right now, because I think Kansas City is clearly better than what Tampa Bay is. We welcome in Nate Taylor joining us in studio today. That's what I have as the biggest matchup in this. I know it's not the sexiest thing to discuss, but I think Tampa has the best defensive line in the National Football League. Mm. And with the way that the Chiefs offensive line has played its last 2 weeks, if you can just handle Tampa Bay's front 4, front 7, this is the game that you should be able to win.
Yeah, and to your point, Carrington, I think the target line for the Chiefs offense is 23 points. You know, the Buccaneers have not reached 20, or past 20, I should say, in their 3 games this season. People should trust the Chiefs defense, even without, you know, Trent McDuffie, even without Willie Gay. I just get the sense that, because you look at this injury report, and I'm sure you probably already went through it, but the amount of guys questionable who are supposed to catch the ball from Tom Brady, I think the target line is 23 points. I think it's fair to hold the Chiefs to that sort of standard for this particular game, even with all the circumstances involved. But yeah, the best thing to do is to be balanced on offense, to get a lead, and to just squeeze the Buccaneers out of sort of the script that they want, so that Tom Brady doesn't have a game-winning or a potential game-winning drive available to him in the fourth quarter, similar to what Matt Ryan had last week, you know? The only reason the Colts won that game is because for somehow, after 55 minutes, they had the ball and a chance to win the game. You don't ever want to give that to Tom Brady.
That's kind of like what happened in the Packers and Bucks game, that the Packers had clearly been outplaying them for the first 58 minutes of the game. And then it's like, hold on, they're only down 8 and Tom Brady has the football. You know he was going to put them in a position to give them a chance to win. They then score the touchdown and then they get to delay a game on the 2-point conversion.
Right. So 23 points, you should win the game. Now, I also understand that I am saying this after a week ago. We said, ain't no way the Colts can move up and down the field. And that mostly held true. Problem was, I didn't foresee a fake field goal. I didn't foresee, you know, a muff punt that essentially gave the Colts 7 points. And as Dave Tobe told us yesterday, Carrington, gave the Colts confidence. So if the Chiefs just have a normal game on special teams, and I would find it quite surprising if Harrison Butker plays. But even with that, if the Chiefs just have a normal special teams game and they don't have like a ridiculous wild variance of turnovers, all they need, I think, is really 23 points and the ability to have control of the game late and not give Brady maybe one last opportunity, even with Mike Evans back for this game.
That's where I think people, to me, have overreacted to the Chiefs' loss. That if you're looking at it as a neutral observer, if the Chiefs are just a D on special teams, they win that game. Just a D. We're talking about a 3-0 team right now. Them and the Eagles are the only undefeated team. People are looking at the Chiefs like the overwhelming team in the AFC to win the Super Bowl. But their special teams was so bad
right.
that to me, this team just can't out-talent you the way that we've seen other Chiefs teams. Like, we saw some Chiefs teams in the last couple of years that you could play a C-minus game and still win by 10 points because you just have more dogs yep. than the other team has. That's just not where this team is. So I do think in some ways it's a blessing in disguise and it's a lesson down the road. We got to execute and we got to play better if we want to beat these teams. And if you don't, you leave yourself open to lose to a team like Indianapolis that everybody knows the
it's
Chiefs
trash.
Are a better team than the Indianapolis Colts. Like everybody knows that. You leave yourself open if you don't execute and you don't do the little things that you need to do. So if they just clean some of that stuff up,
yeah.
I think they beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I think Tampa is a good defense. I'm not necessarily sure Tampa Bay is a good team yet.
Right. And by the way, Tennessee plays Indianapolis. I don't know if we're really going to learn anything about either team. But the Colts
I don't even know if I watched that game on Red Zone. I don't know. That's like not a game I'm trying to keep up with.
Like, that game is we may not learn anything about that game, other than those are both two subpar teams. Yeah. I think people are also forgetting, Carrington, that you still have Patrick Mahomes. Like, let's not forget you still have a healthy Patrick Mahomes who, you know, as a collective media group, on Wednesday asked him about, you know, Shaq Barrett's comments. And, hey, he has the right to say those things right now because they haven't played the game yet and he's living off of, you know, the Super Bowl victory. Totally fine. Now it's time for Patrick to respond, for the rest of the offensive line to do what an offensive line wants to do, which is move people out of the way. It's not like the Chiefs didn't already have motivation to run the ball better than they did against the Indianapolis Colts, who – you know, are a good run-stopping team, in particular with DeForest Buckner, who sort of blew up a lot of plans. But now with this comment and the fact that Clyde Edwards-Helaire has 7 carries for 0 yards, I mean, this is a chance for the offensive line to just move people. And you don't have to talk about it. You just move them, line up, go right at them again. And if that happens, you obviously are a more balanced offense. The defense can't tee off on Mahomes like obviously we watched in Super Bowl 55. And Mahomes still has capable weapons with Travis Kelce, Juju Smith-Schuster. You know, I get the feeling that Marquez Valdes-Scantling will play on Sunday. So it's all there for Mahomes and the offensive line to sort of, you know, take control of the line of scrimmage, take control of the game on Sunday, and, you know, just remind people that, to your point, they're still a very, very good football team who just honestly just like sleptwalked through a large chunk, of last Sunday's game against the Colts.
I think they're going to need Mahomes to be superhuman in this game.
I don't know. I don't know if I would ask. I don't think he has to be that. Just
I think
because
they're going to. I made this bet with Sean Barber. I think the Chiefs run for less than 75 yards in this game. I don't think they're going to be able to run the ball at all. I think they're going to need Mahomes to throw it 40 times to win this game. I think they're going to need the full bag of tricks. They're going to need Mahomes to be escape from the pocket.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to need Mahomes to run. Like, they're going to need Mahomes to do a lot in this game. I just don't trust their offensive line to block. Their offensive line struggled against the Chargers. They struggled against the Colts. Based on what I've seen from Tampa Bay, what reason do I have to think that the Chiefs are going to block really well in this game? I just, based on what they've handed me so far against teams that I know have capable pass rushers. So, to me, Mahomes is going to get hit in this game. He's gonna get hit on a 3rd and 8, and it's going to be frustrating. He's going to have to kind of keep his focus, keep his
right.
composure, and play through it. So, I think they're going to need a superhuman effort from Mahomes to win this game.
Anytime, like, Mahomes and superhuman are in, like, the same paragraph or the same sentence, it just always makes me think back to the last time the Chiefs were in Tampa when he was the most talented player on the field and they didn't score a touchdown. Not because of
I don't think they need that much of a superhuman.
Well, that's where my mind goes because I'm like, you know, they needed, you know, by the way, the game before that, the Chiefs also needed him to be superhuman against the Buffalo Bills coming off of, you know, the first concussion of his career in the divisional round against the Cleveland Browns. And he was superhuman in that game, too. So I don't know if he needs to do that just because can the Bucs score 23 points?
I don't know if they can score 21 points in this game.
So I'm not asking Mahomes to be superhuman. I'm just asking him to be an overqualified game manager who won't make mistakes. And when the opportunities are there, we'll still strike. And it's just, it's unfortunate. And I know we talked to Travis Kelce today after practice, but, like, the game kind of comes down to him. Like, despite all the things Indianapolis did, Mahomes still is in the pocket, still delivers a strike.
Kelce drops it.
They are up two scores at that point. And the Colts, I'm telling you, ladies
and gentlemen. If
we're
talking about any team, though, that is matched up to be able to, who got the linebackers and speed and if there's any team that we think can match up kind of decent against Kelce, it's this team. This team has the linebackers to match up with Kelce where they can force other guys to have to beat him. Like, if Tampa Bay goes into it with the, all right, we're not letting Kelce get 100 yards in this game. We're going to hold him to 5 for 60. All right, we're going to make Juju Smith-Schuster. We're going to make these guys. Some teams, to me, go into it with that mindset but don't have the ability to actually execute it. I think they have the ability to execute it.
I think Travis Kelce is capable of having a, you know, Hall of Fame reminding performance. Like, hey, I'm a Hall of Famer. I'll get the tough yards. 3rd and 7, everybody knows the ball's coming to me. I'll still, you know, do what is necessary to box out the defender to make the tough catch. They got to get more efficient in the red zone, and I think Kelce is probably their easiest path towards success in that regard. I don't think the Chiefs need to do anything that is, like, over expectations. I just think play the way you're expected to play, which should lead to a victory, honestly. I don't know how much of the weather circumstances, how much of the impact of the damage sort of surrounding Tampa Bay in Florida after Hurricane Ian, how much the team had to travel to Miami and is traveling back and understanding what their lives are outside of their, you know, employment status. I don't know how much of that is going to affect what we see on Sunday night. But the Chiefs are a better football team. And they should perform like the better football team.
I think they're clearly better than Tampa.
Yeah. Yeah. Tom Brady knows this. Like I anticipate Tom Brady being more frustrated or having more camera angles from NBC that's like, oh, here he goes. He's on the edge. He may, you know, destroy tablets again. I feel like I have more of, I should anticipate more of that imaging than NBC showing us that, like, Mahomes can't find anybody open or Mahomes is, you know, running for his life. That is symbolic or reminiscent of Super Bowl 55. Like, great teams respond after they know that they've been dog. Like, Eric Bieniemy said they got their you-know-what kicked. I think if you're a good team or if you're a championship contending team, you respond when most people are available to be on the field, and particularly on offense. So, yeah, you know, I know Lavonte David is good. I know Devin White is good. I know Shaq Barrett is good. They should still score 23 points.
Do you think those guys respect the Chiefs?
Because no.
Like,
no.
What Shaq Barrett said.
Right.
Is the
he
most,
let it out.
It is the most disrespectful thing I've heard a player say about the Chiefs the entire time Mahomes has been there. He basically called their offensive line soft. Like, he didn't use those terms.
Right.
But, hey, we think this can be a coming out party. I know we had 6 sacks. We think we can do even better. You never hear a defensive player talk that boastfully about his unit. Especially a unit that has the accolades and the talent that I think the Chiefs offensive line does. Like, that's been my big thing this week.
Right.
I don't think the front 4, front 7 of Tampa respects Kansas City's offensive line.
You have to give them, you have to understand from their vantage point, ladies and gentlemen. They held the Chiefs out of the end zone the first time ever in Patrick Mahomes' career, and Tyreek Hill was on the field. Now, the game got out of hand for various reasons, and it's the worst offensive line he's ever performed behind in his career. Like, so it's not like Shaq Barrett is coming from this with, like so many, you know, different perspectives or more objective viewpoint of, like, what occurred a year and a half ago versus what's going to happen on Sunday. None of those guys on the offensive line played in that game. So it's okay. You also have to project confidence, and I understand that as a competitor. Dog, your offense ain't scored 20. So, like, I mean, come on. Like, and now you've given Mahomes, you know, whatever little bit of motivation he can reach for. So, it's, you know, Patrick counts a lot when these moments are presented, whether it was brought upon the opponent or not. And so who am I to question Patrick Mahomes' ability to, you know, have a response to this, just as much as maybe Buccaneer fans are to say, hey, we were the first team to really stop the Chiefs. We were the first team to really present looks that they couldn't combat. You know, it's the first game in the Mahomes era that the Chiefs didn't really have any halftime adjustments. They just kept trying to throw the ball deep, and the Buccaneers were like, good luck with that, because we're getting home with four. The equation can change, and part of that is because the quarterback is, I think, more experienced and can take lessons from that and, you know, is capable of having successful drives. Not dominating a large chunk of the game, but having the final say because the scoreboard tells him that his team won.
I think the aura around the Chiefs died that night. Heading into that, people were talking about Mahomes could be the greatest quarterback of all time. People were talking about you can catch up to Brady. There were a lot of conversations that people were having up to that point that I think completely ended that day. I also think it was kind of crazy to think that defenses had figured out the Chiefs. You remember, we had the blueprint conversations before.
Yeah, right.
But it was always like, well, what are you basing that on? No team's really slowed them down. And ever since then, the conversations around the league have sort of changed. That I think Tampa was able to get really physical with the Chiefs. The Chiefs didn't really like how physical that game was. Mm-hmm. You then gave every team in the NFL an entire offseason to study what one team has done defensively.
Right.
And in some ways, I think the Chiefs' offense has always been playing catch up. It's been a lot more, all right, this is what you need to do. Force Mahomes to do this. He doesn't like when you do this. It's been a lot more of those conversations. The Chiefs are still a very good team. We were talking about the Chiefs being an all-time great team. Heading into that, I don't think they've ever gotten that back after losing to Tampa Bay.
I think for me, Carrington, and everything you said is totally understandable. I think the dynasty died on the last pass attempt from Patrick Mahomes to Tyreek Hill. The idea of, like, yes, the defense had two people accounted for Tyreek Hill, and Mahomes on 3rd and 10 in the overtime of the AFC Championship game last year said, you know what? Let's just do it. Let's just try one more time. Even though the entire season had kind of informed me, especially against, you know, pretty good opponents, don't throw that football. But he did. It's an interception. They never got the ball back. They've never been the same since. I think they regained a lot of their mystique the week previously. And that was I think for Chiefs fans, and when you look at the historical context of, like, you know, the first real chapter of Mahomes' career, it's the oddity of that sort of, hey, they figured you out. And then Mahomes and Andy Reid and Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill being like, no, they haven't. We just didn't have the offensive line that we wanted to have for that particular game. And hey, give credit. Teams adjusted, but then we adjusted to the adjustment. And now Jordan Poyer's getting deuces in front of his face at the 17-yard line. And of course, a coin flip can change so many paths in a lot of people's career. But they got the coin tossed twice, Carrington. And I thought they fully regained the mystique because Josh Allen did everything right and still lost. And then they gave the mystique right back the following week with poor execution, questionable decisions from the coaching staff. And then Mahomes had the worst half of football that he's ever played at the NFL level. And I think it is twofold. Some of it is what the opponent did to you. The Bengals took your mystique away, but you kind of gave it away too. Mahomes, Kelce, Hill, they all sort of had their own, they were complicit in their own downfall as one of the true trilogies in NFL history from an offensive skill set, you know, from an offensive skill position. And I think that's when the dynasty, the mystique, the idea of, hey, this, you know, what we've seen since 2018 is just going to continue to be what it is. You know, that's partly on them. And part of it is the league at some point has to catch up because, you know, the league is designed to do that.
It catches up to everybody.
Yeah. So now it's about, you know, obviously you're remaking your roster. You're shifting some philosophical, you know, strategies. Obviously, you're adding in new talent, but yeah, the Buccaneers can always say, "Well, look at my ring, look at my shiny ring." We held them literally out of the end zone. But like for me, when I think about it as objectively as I can, it's like, well, you didn't play that team that beat the Bills, that had a horrid, I shouldn't say horrid, but a very like ill-equipped defense, and they were still, what, one half, one possession away from going back to the Super Bowl? I mean, that's it's honestly remarkable in a lot of ways, but at the same time, the Buccaneers are the one team in the league that can feel a certain way, that can express it exactly how Shaq Barrett feels, and Sunday will kind of be a referendum as to whether or not they get to keep saying that. Because even the Bengals know they kind of helped us get to the Super Bowl when you know, our natural path was maybe a year or two away from getting to that stage of NFL history.
We've got a pair of Sporting Kansas City tickets to give away for Sunday's game against the Sounders. We need four callers, 913-586-7610. We're going to play a game. I'll tell you what the game is. You're listening to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio.
The Drive with CDOT. Catch former Chiefs linebacker Derek Johnson every Monday morning at 7:30 with Fesco in the Morning on your official broadcast partner of the Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, back into The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com and the Odyssey app. Nate Taylor is here. Nate, I have one more pair of tickets to give away to Sunday's matchup between Sporting Kansas City and the Seattle Sounders, and there is only one way that I know how to give them away. Jed, hit the music.
I don't have the music.
It's Price is Right time. We're going to play a very simple game here. How much money has Tom Brady made in his NFL career?
It's less than his wife. Shout out to Giselle.
I don't know if he's shouting her out right now because she got my dog Tom sleeping on the couch. I'm not shouting her out right now because she has my dog sleeping on the couch.
Reasonable reasons.
No, hey, reasonable reasons. Because he wanted to go work to support their family.
You told me one thing, and now you done flipped it up on us.
We don't support Giselle on this show. I don't know what you guys are doing over at The Athletic, but that's not what we do on this show. This is the Tom Brady show. We support Tom's right to work is what we support on
he
this.
He can go be in the broadcast booth on weekends?
No, he's still playing football because he said he was
still gonna take the kidney shots.
He made a promise to us. He didn't make a promise to her. 913-586-7610. Price is Right style. You guys know the rules. Closest to the number without going over, I will give you two tickets to Sporting Kansas City's matchup this weekend against the Seattle Sounders. Shane, Tom Brady is in his 23rd season in the National Football League. How much money do you think Tom Brady has made from playing football?
A lot. Let's go. $295 million.
$295 million. All right, Ryan. It is Tom Brady's 23rd season. How much money do you think that Tom Brady has made?
I'm gonna go with $299 million.
$299 million. All right, Alex. This is Tom Brady's 23rd year. How much money do you think Brady has made playing football?
Oh, I'm going to say $315.
$315. All right. Last one here. Joe, I'm going to give you the number so far and give you the opportunity. Shane says $295. Ryan says $299. Alex says $315. For the Sporting Kansas City tickets, how much money has Tom Brady made playing football?
$315 million and $1.
Well played.
All right, I'm putting you on hold here. Nate, would you like to guess how much money Tom Brady has made from playing football before I give you the answer?
This is tough because the CBA have changed, the caps changed. This man's been playing too long.
He's been playing for a long time.
What was the lowest number we have so far?
The lowest number was 295.
I'll go 275.
All right, you're going $1.
I'll go low, man.
All right, you're going $1 here. Jed, the correct answer. Tom Brady in his NFL career has made $332 million playing football. Congratulations to Joe. Joe, stay on the line here. You are the winner of Tom Brady Price is Right. Give Jed your email, and I will email you two tickets to Sporting Kansas City's game on Sunday against the Sounders. $332 million. Nate, do you think that Tom Brady is washed?
No. I think we're getting there, but no. It would be helpful if you had fully functional receivers on a week-to-week basis, whether that's suspension or injury-related. But no, he's not washed. It's just the circumstances around him have changed, clearly, with the offensive line having their injuries early in the year. He's still going to get the ball out. He's still got, you know, an incredible feel for down and distance situations, you know, how to just hang on a little bit so that the defense doesn't have a clear, easy shot to him. But I wouldn't say he's washed. But at the same time, like, I think he probably should have realized last year, you know, and they had that great comeback against the Los Angeles Rams in the division round at home. You know, Matthew Stafford made a great throw to Cooper Kupp, who's always open. And he probably should have known then, based on the way this works and how old he is, that he's probably not going to play a better playoff game. And so unless circumstances change yet again in his favor, I don't see him. Like, it's wild. In 1 year, they just stomped the Eagles. And I could see later this year them going up to Philadelphia and getting re-stomped in a rematch where, look, it's just apparent. You know, it happens to Dan Marino. It happened to Joe Montana. You know, not everybody can be John Elway. So it's going to happen, but he'll probably still make it to January, and then it'll be revealed to everyone, including him, that he can't lift a team the way he has for the majority of these 23 years.
I think this is the worst season finale for a show. Like, Brady, and I understand people don't like Tom Brady, But Brady deserves to go out with just a measure of respect. Mm-hmm. I don't think he is going to get this season. His body language just seems really off. Like, say what you want about Tom. I think Tom has always loved playing football.
Right.
You just don't get that feel when you watch him right now that this is fun, enjoyable, or something that he really wants to do. Yes. I think that's it, too. I don't think Brady is washed. Now, I've been asking myself that this week. Do I think that because I've said it before, I don't want to look foolish again? I think that right now, offensively, they have Tom playing with bottom five parts.
Mm-hmm.
I think their offense right now is so bad. The guys that they had him throwing the football to, anytime Russell Gage gets 13 targets, he's not a 13-target guy.
For less than 100 yards.
He's not a 13-target guy. Justin Jefferson gets 13 targets. Jamar Chase gets you got to be a high-end receiver for them to throw the ball to you that much. That was the only person that Brady liked on the team. I think that their offense is just so poorly built around them that it kind of reminds me of the end of the Patriots, that we clearly were off, that Brady certainly had more good football to play. But I think he started to realize toward the end, I can't elevate these guys the way that I maybe could when I was 27, 28. I could do it with Julian Edelman. I could do it with Danny Amendola. I can't do it with Russell Gage. I can't do it with these guys the way that I used to. So I don't think that Brady is washed. I just think due to injury, roster building, I don't know why you go into a season expecting anything from Julio Jones at this point.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that the parts around him are so broken right now that makes it very difficult to evaluate Brady.
Yeah. I respect the hell that he's been sacked 6 times. But still has a 65 completion percentage and has only thrown one pick. So he's under duress. He's getting hit more than usual for a three-game stretch, and he's not becoming a turnover machine. Like, that was the issue with, like, Eli Manning, right? Was like, Eli Manning was like, hey, all I have is Odell Beckham Jr. Everything around me is crumbling, and I'm just, hey, I got to get it out of my hands. And if it goes into the other team, we'll coach. I'm getting old, man. Like, it's hard. Like, it's so hard to play this game at this late a stage. That's why Aaron Rodgers, no matter how you feel about him, it's brilliant just watching him play football and not give the football to the other team when he's getting older. Like, you get older and it just, you take more chances, you take more risks because this game hurts. And these dudes are getting bigger, faster, and stronger. So, I think the Chiefs' defensive line will have successful snaps. It's just a matter of, can that pressure lead to a turnover, lead to a pivotal game winning play? Usually it's the Saints that have given him the most trouble in the division since he's come to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But the issue with that is Cam Jordan's always in his face. And a lot of times, he doesn't turn the ball over, but he gives you those looks that you're talking about. Like, I don't know how we're going to go, coach, I don't know how we're going to go 75 yards down the field with these boys. Mm-mm. But it's prime time. Man, this game is going to be really, really interesting because if they get 2 turnovers off Brady, it's a massive success. But it also is just another indicator that, like, with the talent around him that you mentioned that he cannot elevate, and if they get behind 2 scores and you're forced to throw and you leave no option to hand the ball off to give him just a mental break, we might be talking Monday about, like, man, he looks washed. And that might not be the case, but the circumstances dictate that he's not a superstar quarterback anymore. He's a legendary quarterback for all the things he's done, and he's probably still going to get them to the playoffs. But Them winning Sunday night will not be, I don't think, about him. I think it'll be about a lot of different, factors that lead to a Buccaneers win. But I don't look at this going like, oh, he's just gonna, have 3 touchdowns and maybe 1 sack and no turnovers and, he's gonna make all these nice, real crisp throws in the red zone. I don't think he's washed, Carrington, but he knows it's the end.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'd be surprised if Brady played well. A lot of that's just based on how he's played so far this season. He just hasn't played well at any point this season. And with the way the Chiefs defense is playing, I find it hard to believe that he's going to play really well on Sunday. I want to ask you a question as someone who has a young son that is starting to get into the NFL about Tom Brady. I'll tell you what it is coming up on the other side. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
Attention.
All right, Nate Taylor, you have a young son. You told us that your young son is just starting to get into the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Loves it, appreciates it. Let's say like 15 years from now.
Here we go.
You sit down and you show him highlights of Tom Brady.
Ooh.
Do you think he'll come away thinking that Tom Brady is the greatest quarterback of all time?
It depends on the era, of highlights I show.
But this is why I say it.
His greatness is in precision.
Because I think there are certain athletes that you don't got to do a whole lot of quantifying.
Oh, no. Like, I've showed him like
right now, you can show your son Barry Sanders.
Oh.
And he will be like, oh, my goodness, what is this?
Yeah. And
you
then
can show your son Randy Moss. And then he'll start, get it. He'll understand it.
He'll start intimating or start mimicking. Yes.
Yeah, like your son might love LeBron James. You can show him Michael Jordan highlights. He'll get it.
Yes.
He'll get why people still wear his shoes.
Right.
I don't know if your son's going to get it with Brady.
Here's where it's interesting, because they've tricked me in my own brain. That's okay. I've allowed it to happen. I'm acknowledging it here, ladies and gentlemen. The man in the arena is better than you. It's better than it should be, because it's the only time Tom Brady's been interesting in front of a camera. But that first season when he was the Patriots and the whole, like, I got to explain to my son who Drew Bledsoe is, which dog. But, like, Drew Bledsoe was the highest paid player in the entire league. And it's just like, hey, this young buck led them to the Super Bowl. The snow game is a cool highlight because, like, that's just a classic football image. And everything he did after the Tuck misjudgment is actually really good football play. Like, if you've watched that game from the Tuck rule, sorry, you know, I don't know, maybe it pleases Chiefs fans because the Raiders were the offended party. But, like, he plays really well in the snow. The Randy Moss era is just – that's just a guy who's five-step drop, look, sling. And it's perfect, on-time precision. In some ways, it's very reminiscent of, like, Joe Montana with, like, Jerry Rice.
But this is the thing. I made this point earlier. There's only one Joe Montana highlight. There's one. Of all the Joe Montana that you see, there's one play.
And he's actually doing something very athletic. By the way, for our younger audience, there weren't quarterbacks going to their right throwing balls on a dime in the corner of the back of the end zone in the early 1980s.
Jed made this point,
that wasn't
though.
Happening.
Jed made this point. It is not called the throw.
It's called the catch.
It is called the catch.
Yeah.
Joe Montana. People before Brady, people argued that Joe Montana was the greatest quarterback of all time. He has one highlight.
I would say two. The third Super Bowl, I believe, against the Cincinnati Bengals on the drive in the final 2 minutes. You can watch it on YouTube. His throw through multiple defenders to John Taylor in the back of the end zone to win the Super Bowl in the last minute.
It's a great throw.
That's his best throw. Because the Bengals were really good that year, even though they weren't the better team.
But some athletes just jump off the screen.
Oh, of course.
Like, Steph Curry jumps off the screen.
Can Ja Morant just stay healthy, y'all?
But Brady just doesn't do that.
Right.
Like, Brady is the most unassuming great player that we've ever seen. Like, he's the most unassuming great player.
Yeah,
like, 10, 15 years from now, you will show your kid that he'd be like, he all right, but have you seen this new kid? Be like, you're crazy. Why are you saying that? Like, Brady has never done anything to make you say wow physically. Where, like, Mahomes does something.
Right.
You're there every week. You see
him.
He'll do, like, how did he do that? You've never said that about Brady physically. You've said that based on an accomplishment.
Right.
You've never seen Brady make a throw where you were just, oh, my goodness, that's the greatest thing I've ever. That's never happened once with Tom Brady.
I could show, like, by the way, like, trying to teach your son the option offense at the NFL level is just crazy in my brain, because it was impossible to run when we were growing up. But then you show him, like, but here's Lamar Jackson. And this is why it works. This is why the numbers advantage is insane. And then when he gets in the open field, he starts doing these things. So, yeah, there will be a lot of players that we go through before I get to, like, oh, yeah, by the way, like, he won this Super Bowl, this Super Bowl,
and then that Super Bowl, and the Cup winning them. Yeah, he just kept winning them. No, he's won all the Super Bowls. They actually renamed the Super Bowl. It's actually called the Brady Bowl now. Nate Taylor of The Athletic joins us in studio. Always good to catch up with him. Normally we would have more time, but the Royals continue to take up all of our time. I will be so happy when baseball season is over, because baseball season has been over for like 5 months now.
And when Rob's back.
Rob will be back on Monday. Little COVID boy. All right, we're out of here. It's the drive.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.